Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I hate that song.
Hello and welcome inside hour three of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Right now, Major League Baseball. Dodgers could be on the cusp of cutting into the Giants' lead in the NL West. They lead the Diamondbacks right now, 4-2 in the bottom of the fifth. Meanwhile, it's the Padres finally winning a game, at least for
now. How about that?
I think they play the rest of their games against the Giants, right? Don't they finish a season with like 19 in a row against the Giants?
It's like a ridiculous schedule, unless someone put up a prank one, which would feel like a prank one to the Padres at this point, I should say.
Padres lead the Giants right now 5-2 as the Giants bat in the bottom of the fifth inning. So it could be a little closer to the top of the NL West. But no, here's how the season finishes for the Padres. These three games against San Francisco, then they got St. Louis, then they have San Francisco, then they have Atlanta, then they have LA, then they have San Francisco. So they got nine games coming up against the Giants here. It's crazy.
Well, all those games against the Giants, and then everybody else is a contender.
Yes.
Like there's not a soft spot at all.
No.
Not one random schedule.
No.
But like even if they'd played the Cubs at this point, but or, you know, just go on down the line. It has got to be the worst September schedule. It's like, all right, we're still in the hunt. No, we're really not. But it's fun to think we are. Mm. Come see Blake Snell.
I'm telling you, man. Just white. We mentioned this last night. Something to stick a pin in. Okay. Is that you're looking at the Giants and Dodgers getting into the playoffs here, and the Dodgers could win over 100 games and have to be in a one-game winner-take-all situation. And if they go into that and they lose, whether it's the Padres or the Reds or the Cardinals, whoever it is, if the Dodgers, who are the TV darlings of Major League Baseball, they're just that dynasty that keeps on going, the most hated team but the most interesting team, right? Mm-hmm. If they lose that first game, and networks don't get at least one series of the Dodgers, which would probably be two series of the Dodgers, the way they play, how good they are. Watch the rules change for next year in baseball, because the Dodgers dynasty is continuing to grow. It's not showing any signs of slowing down. Like, they just got Max Scherzer and Trey Turner. Sports is not something that you need to worry about. Boy, if we make this change now, we can't change ever again. But you watch. Baseball will change, and they will expand the playoff field next year. So teams that get in all have full series. Because they don't want this to happen again, where the Dodgers get in, play one game, done, when, boy, we could be robbed of 12 games of the Dodgers, which would be great revenue and money and everything.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. If the Dodgers go one and out this year, you're going to see that happen. You're going to see, okay, we got – same thing with the Yankees. If the Yankees go one and out, but specifically the Dodgers because they're so good, right? I mean, look, like I said, they're going to finish 50 games over 500, and they still could go out with the first game in the playoffs. If that happens, watch baseball change those rules.
I love it. You're just starting to sound like me. Follow the money.
You watch, buddy. Mm-mm. Maybe
straight
the Mets can get
cash.
I mean, look, they're talking about seven teams in the playoffs in each league, and that would be great. Are you kidding? The top two teams in each division and a third team? That's the best. I can't believe we did that last year, and it was so bleeping good. But no, can't do it now. No, we're going back to what it is now. Oh, come on. Just come on. Let's get back to that for next year. Let's get seven teams in, man. That was just such a sordid insanity and zaniness, and you could celebrate, and still it was a big deal to get to, and play this year and make it however you want. Hey, if you win the division, it's a better thing. There's something better you have to go through, or that more teams have to go through that you don't have to go through. I am all for that. But man, seven teams in the how much more interesting is Major League Baseball? More playoff teams is always more interest. It's better. It's like, why would I order one pizza if I could get two pizzas? Right? It's like calling going, hey, Domino's, yeah, what would you like? Yeah, I'd like to get a cheese pizza with extra cheese, half pepperoni, half sausage. Hey, would you like an extra one? We're doing a two-for-one special here. No, I don't want two. Just give me one. Why would I want two? No, you get two pizzas. If that's going to work, get two pizzas. That's Major League Baseball saying, no, I don't want cheese and sausage and pepperoni. Or if you're tight shirt, you want peppers or mushrooms.
See, now I want to order pizzas.
Yeah.
Sour soap.
Sour soap. No.
See, because I'm back up in the studio tomorrow to record the podcast.
Okay.
Maybe it's a pizza night.
It's casserole night.
As Teicher calls it, casserole night.
I would never eat anything with the word soap in it. Why do you think sour soap?
I was force-fed soap when, say, my mouth got a little smart as a kid.
Why would you?
I ain't running to your soap stuff, Teicher.
Hold
now.
On. Jason, I got to ask you, what is the one thing people have preached about in the last 2 years? What do you wash yourself with all the time?
Soap.
Right. What does soap do?
Cleans you out.
So imagine I gave you a superfood that does the same thing to your insides.
But are you giving me food or are you giving me soap?
It's a food.
I could drink Drano and get the same result.
Oh, God. I don't recommend that.
Don't do that, please, if you're listening. Do not do
that. No. It was a joke.
Don't do it.
Mike, I don't know. Kids were eating Tide Pods. There ain't no jokes anymore. That's all I'm going to say.
Actually, that's a fair point. Fair point.
But why would you want – let me ask you this. If you want somebody to eat it, right? Why would you call it soap?
Because it's cleaning. It's sour soap.
But it's not something you eat. You would call it, and why would you call it sour? People don't like to eat two things, soap and something that's sour, unless you're having sour gums.
What do you mean? Sour Patch Kids, they're huge.
Okay, for kids. Okay, but you're trying to, are you really thinking you're going to get kids to eat something called sour soap?
We're all giant kids, Jay. Stop it.
Think that's going to happen? That's not happening. It's not happening. You're not doing it.
I'm going to order you
sour
one.
Sour soap. And you know, I'll take it. Does it come on a rope? Is it like soap on a rope? Do I get to wash myself in the shower with it?
It's not soap on a rope.
Okay. All right. Because soap on a rope, I could deal with. If it's a shower. Now, is it a soap that I can clean myself with and then eat it at the end?
I'm sure you
could. Could I do that?
But it's a pretty prickly on the outside, so it might not be comfortable. Mm.
Okay, so it's not good as a soap or to eat then if it's prickly
eat
on
is
the
good.
Outside.
You're the inside.
Why would I want to eat something that's prickly on the outside?
Well, Jay,
I don't
want
to
inside.
Eat a cactus.
It's the inside that counts.
So I got to eat all of it, right? Sour soap
not
is
the outside.
Is,
just the
don't
inside.
Eat the outside. So I have to worry about getting splinters and stuff opening up a food to
There's
eat it on
no
the inside.
No splinters, it just looks prickly.
You just said it was prickly
Can
on the outside.
Can you pull up a picture?
You're describing it to me. I don't need to worry about what it is.
He's trying to get the mental image.
It sounds like a coconut that's going to attack me.
No.
Have they ever used it as a stand-in for a monster in a horror movie?
Possibly.
Sour soap. I don't understand. I'm looking at a picture of it right now.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. It doesn't... Wow. No, it looks like an unripe strawberry.
No.
Yeah.
Premium sour soap, a small box is $117.
They're pricey.
Oh, and it's that kind of money? So
it's
I gotta
expensive,
have something
dude.
I don't want to eat that I gotta spend that kind of money.
Small box contains up to 3 to 6 pounds. It's $117.
Yep.
Well, that's a lot of money.
Should look up the organic ones.
Yeah, but that's 3 to 6 pounds. That's a pretty crappy estimate on a per pound basis of what you're charging me. Does this market fluctuate that much? Hell, I should get out of stocks and bonds and start getting into sour soap.
You should.
Guanabana, as they call it.
But it's spelled soap, S-O-P, so it's really like sour sop.
It is, but I like to say soap because it cleans you out.
No, I'd rather go down to the local taco cart and get some soapes.
I would rather you tell me, hey, it's sore sop. Oh, what's that? It sounds like doorstop, and they're going to deliver to me. Okay, that's great. I would call it.
Yeah, but
call
if you ordered this and you open a box thinking you're all hungry and you're salivating and you put on your bib like I know you do, and you open your box and this damn thing was in it, how disappointed would you be?
I'd be very disappointed.
I'm asking you, America. I'm tweeting this link out right now to this nonsense.
They're
fraudulent.
Amazing.
Small box contains between 3 and 6 pounds. Why the hell would I ever send you any more than 3 pounds if I'm the distributor of this thing?
They're amazing.
If you're going to say, if I'm charging the same, hey, you might get double. It's like a mystery box. Maybe you get 3 pounds, maybe you get six. I'm going to go out on a limb that 95% of the time you're getting 3 pounds and 1 ounce, if that.
I think it depends on the size of them. That's why.
Did you lose money on great buying of sour soap in the last year? Call the law firm of Larry H. Parker.
Oh, no.
I will fight for you to get your money back.
Oh, gosh.
I will crush your man. Oh, wait.
They put the picture of sour soap up. Did you buy this? If you could be entitled to a lot of money, call the law firm of Larry H. Parker right now, and I will tell you.
I'm just saying.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, Ty Shoot is at Sour Soap on Twitter. So while the great fruit wars are continuing to be fought, earlier today we got another, I wouldn't say clue, but I would say another putting my foot down is when we're going to see an exciting rookie quarterback actually take over for his new team. Now, we know Zach Wilson's already playing. He's fantastic. Jimmy Garoppolo and the Niners won. It's good for a bit. Trey Lance is not coming.
Jimmy.
But how about Justin Fields, right? Come on. That pedestrian 14-point Bears offense. Let's see Justin Fields. Matt Nagy said, not quite yet.
After seeing Andy Dalton live, I think what Bears fans want to know is what does Dalton give you that at this point Justin Fields does not?
That's a good question. I understand it. But when you look back and you say, and after you're able to watch the tape and see where you're at, you know that we talked about, and I brought it up in regards to producing and scoring touchdowns and winning. And so we're always evaluating that. But I thought that Andy did a pretty good job yesterday of being able to, you know, get the ball out to guys where he needed to in certain situations. You look back and the biggest error that he had was that interception to start the game. And sometimes those can be big ones because that's a momentum deal right on third down. So without getting into the comparisons too much, I just think that right now when we're evaluating Andy, that I thought he did a good job of being able to put us in good situations and then using Justin when we did. Justin did well too.
Now, he went on to say, in addition today, that A, we'll know the time when it's time for Justin to play, but Andy is the guy. First of all, I love the question, how leading it was by the reporter. Hey, after seeing Andy Dalton live, like now we've all seen it. You can't hide it anymore from us. We all saw Andy Dalton live and he stunk. When are you going to fix this, Matt Nagy? So I kind of like that leading question. But, you know, the thing is, Mike, with this, number one, this is about extending his time as Bears head coach, right? It's how all head coaches who see themselves near the end, how do I give myself at least a little bit more time to turn this around, right? If he goes to Justin Fields early in the season and Justin Fields is okay, but they don't win, guess what? It's a new head coach with Justin Fields next year. But if he waits and waits and waits and waits, and boy, the team is not very good because he knows the Bears are not very good. But I go to Justin Fields middle of the season when it's about time. Boy, Justin Fields plays well, shows promise. Maybe Matt Nagy can get one more year, right? This is all part of what how head coaches figure out a way to stay on. Hey, I could fire the offensive coordinator now after week one, but if I do and we still stink, then it's really on me. If I wait till the end of the season to fire the offensive coordinator, I can say, hey, look, I got to get a new OC. You got to give me another year. And they'll say, okay, bring in another assistant, and I get another year to be a head coach in the NFL. This is all how do I keep my job as long as I can before I have to put Justin Fields in. But the best part of it is it's coming at some point soon. And there can't be that many more weeks of watching Andy Dalton, the Bears losing, where it's what are we doing by not putting Justin Fields in. If the best thing I could say is it's coming soon. It's not nearly soon enough, and the Bears clearly biffed it by not getting him ready for the beginning of the season, because, look, that's how he would be able to really stay if you're Matt Nagy. I'll get Justin Fields ready to play. He's really good from the jump. We're not bad. Guess what? Then I'm staying. Then by week five or week six, you know, Matt Nagy is staying as head coach because Justin Fields is good. The team is competing, and I've already done it, not have to worry about it. He's trying the other way. Now he's going to try to roll out and extend things until he absolutely has to make a move. Had he gone to him earlier and maybe he's better and he's playing right away, it could change things. But at the very least, it's coming at some point soon. I mean, it's not soon enough for Bears fans. I get this. It's not soon enough for any fans in the NFL that want to see a really exciting player, but it's coming at some point soon. It's just a matter of time. It's not that we're going to wait till week 11, week 12. It's coming. It will be here, and we will get to see him play a good part of the season.
They put that on Andy and just put it on his shoulder. Mooney ran the wrong route. They had a false start after the nonsense of bringing Justin Fields in on that drive, but after moving the ball down the field. But hey, that doesn't matter because everybody's worried about the pretty ball thrown by Matthew Stafford and, oh, it's Justin Fields. No, they moved the ball. They won the first down margin. They had consistent play except for their defense and the cuteness of bringing in Justin Fields. I'm still a believer they can win with Andy Dalton. I think there's a lot of other issues with this squad that are bigger. To your point about Nagy and trying to manipulate things to save his job, yeah, I think there's some of that to a degree. But he's also, according to most reports, he's already got the extra year just added on to his contract. So I don't think it's as much of a hot seat, even though I think he's 4-1 right now, the leader in the clubhouse to be the first guy fired. But yeah, that game was not on Andy Dalton at all. But I know that's what everybody wants, the shiny new toy at quarterback, and they saw him run in a touchdown, so it became a, hey, let's go, let's go, let's go. That's why I've been talking about it all week. I don't think folks really actually watched the Bears side of things or were convinced that Justin Fields needed to play before anybody took a snap on Sunday Night Football. Likewise, the deification of Matthew Stafford on the other side. Congratulations. It's a great effort. He threw to air, right? How many times did you see that stat on Cooper Kupp's reception pop up on your timeline today? He was open by 11.3 yards, the longest and most distance between he and a defender, I think, since the Civil War era, and the beginning of professional football. You know, it's that kind of thing that we're going through in this process. But Matt Nagy, sure, you're always trying to figure out how to save your job. But again, I think he's already got that security mixed therein. His week would be better spent trying to figure out how the hell to fix the defense and to actually pay attention when the defense is on the field. You know, you are the head coach and everything.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, it is The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, even if you don't see a train. Stop, because trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. Well, we got more NFL coming up in a few minutes, but let me just say this. Sometimes we make predictions on this show, and sometimes they come true. A lot of the times they come true. Sometimes we make long-range predictions that you forget about and go, oh, that's where the real money is. That's where the real money would have been. And after today's news regarding Kyrie Irving, I am feeling phenomenal about my prediction back in January that the big three of the Nets, Kyrie, KD, James Harden, would play less than 50 games together overall. Overall, right? Wait a minute, what, are you crazy? They just got the guy. Less than 50 games overall. Look at what happened. Already I'm playing with money because they played in seven games together during the regular season, and then he had 10 more in the playoffs, right? So I'm playing with house money. But after today, this really should crystallize why what I said is going to come true. Nick Wright, who does First Things First here at Fox and at FS1, put out a tweet earlier today around that Kyrie Irving. Quote, there are a handful of Kyrie trades that potentially make sense for the Nets. So stop right there for a second. So now you know there's all kinds of trade rumors swirling around Kyrie Irving that maybe the Nets are trying to move him. So then, hey, guess what? I'd really win my bet. So now you know there's rumors involving Kyrie Irving. But Nick Wright finishes the tweet by saying, Kyrie's agents have made it known that Kyrie would simply retire from the NBA if Brooklyn were to trade him. Now, if you think of anybody who would retire after a trade, Kyrie Irving would be that guy. Kyrie since went back on Twitter and just tweeted a picture of a puppet, letting people know that he thinks, well, what Nick is saying, he's a puppet being told things. And then he also had to explain his take your mask off tweet that he had. People are saying, wait, are you saying take a mask off? Are you anti-vax now? What's going on? And Kyrie Irving had to jump in and say, no, it's about take your mask off. Be real if you're going to criticize me, certain things like that. Not anti-maskers, not that. So here's Kyrie, who can't even put a tweet out about, hey, be real without people thinking, are you making a political statement about being an anti-vaxxer? So this is what goes on surrounding Kyrie Irving. And this is what I mean when I say they're not going to get to 50 games, because there's so many things that involve injuries and knuckleheaded stuff that goes on off the court that is going to make it impossible for the three of them continue to play together. All right. Now, just look at today. So now already we're hearing rumors that the Nets could be looking to trade Kyrie Irving. And here's Kyrie saying, you're not going to do it. I'll retire. All right. If this is true. Now, you want to do that? I would retire if that happened. So don't push me on that. I want to stay here. Already you have knuckleheaded stuff that is being dealt with here when it comes to the Nets and Kyrie Irving. And that's the thing about this trio of players, is that they have too much knuckleheaded stuff going on all the time. James Harden has knuckleheaded stuff, but the big deal with James Harden is he plays for a while, then he gets hurt, and when you get to the playoffs, he gets tired at the end of games, and he can't do it. So you can't count on James Harden. Kyrie Irving gets hurt. And then when he comes back, he'll play hard for a little bit, and then he'll take some time away from the team for whatever reason. He left the team twice last year during the season for different reasons. I got to be on a Zoom for someone to run for mayor in New York. I got to take off some time around my birthday for some unknown reason. I mean, this is what he does. And KD, who goes in spurts of, I'll show you and remind you what a great basketball player I am with, I'm going to spend the next 2 weeks fighting on social media with people who think I'm not good anymore. It's difficult to try to suddenly say, hey, let's all put our heads together, put our heads down, and go play and win a championship. With a team like the Nets, 3 weeks is like 4 months worth of stuff going on, because they can't get on the same page to be able to say, we're ready to go play and win a championship. Oh, they want to remind you once in a while. They want to remind you once in a while that, hey, when we put our minds to it, look what we're doing, right? You see these guys get on the court when they play together, and it's like they just beat the Bucks 148-110. Oh, my goodness, look at what they were able to do. And they do that for all because they want to say to all the critics, you know what? Blank you if you think I'm over the hill, I'm overrated. Let me remind you for a couple of weeks just how good we are. And then something happens, and the Nets fall off for a couple of weeks. And somebody gets hurt, and somebody's ineffective. And then Kyrie's answering questions. Why are you not with the team? When is James Harden coming back? And to ask Kevin Durant to carry the team all by himself when he's getting to be 34 years old and coming off a couple of serious injuries, how much basketball does he have? Kevin Durant used the time at the Olympics to say, hey, I want to remind everybody just how good I am. Here's how hard I can go for 2 weeks, right? Look at that. Now, is he going to be able to do it during the regular season? Can he sustain it for 82 games and all through the playoffs? I can never believe this Nets team, the way it is put together right now, that they're going to be able to say, we're going to make basketball the number one most important thing for 82 games in the playoffs and walk away with a championship. I can't do it. I can't think they're going to be able to do it and focus on it for so long and blotting everything else out. Because distractions, they hit this team like I walk by and I smell chocolate chips cooking from a store. Let's go in and get chocolate chip cookies. Why? I can smell the cookies. I got to get them. But we don't have. I got to go get chocolate chip cookies. I can smell them. They smell so great. That's kind of what it is for the Nets. They smell the chocolate chip cookies being baked and can't not walk into the store and get them. I can't believe the Nets are going to win a title because of that. There's too much knuckleheaded stuff, too much stuff that distracts them, and they're not going to be able to put all of it together and stay healthy, because that's the big part of it too.
You may be right. I may be crazy.
Ah!
You know, we could have done, like, there were at least six different songs you kind of let it down that we could have started quoting in that process of your analysis and evaluation of the Brooklyn Nets. As it stands, you've got a roster that, when healthy and engaged, can play with anybody. And that's the beauty of it, is we have no idea. It's kind of like everybody categorically dismissing the Lakers as being old without looking at the second half of the roster that are all guys like 24 or under. Right? There's a divide there. I get it. We'll do the dollar cost averaging and averaging of ages and all of those kind of things. And yes, it's a long season and injuries play a part, and how you manage your personalities, it goes a long way. As I got to think Steve Nash in year two, is that it's a better, easier flow, that perhaps he learned a few things along the way, maybe had some more phone calls with the legends of coaching past to try to figure out, all right, we had a nice start for those few games we were on together. How do we push it forward? Kevin Durant still pound for pound, and look, he's lean, which is why they call him the Slim Reaper. When his game is on, he's still arguably the best player in the game, right? I mean, we could still do this stuff as we go, and Kyrie Irving is a beast. James Harden, I would hope he doesn't skip leg day, and conditioning is good, and they can balance. Kyrie and Kevin Durant to not miss extensive time, right? Because that's where James Harden gets in trouble with heavy minutes. and maybe bringing in Sekou Doumbouya helps bolster things. I just wanted to get him in just because I thought that would
be fun. Way to go, buddy. I like
that. But the trade that they made, you know, with Detroit brings in some more youth, and perhaps there's some value to be gleaned there. But I think it's going to be a fun chase to 50. I don't buy any of this rumor, conjecture, speculation until it shows up from one of the two or three guys that are showing consistency and being dialed in. If it ends up what Nick Wright put out there, it ends up being correct, I'll be the first to tip my cap and say, you got this one. But this is one that kind of comes out of left field because he's a nation man. So,
no,
again,
but
it just to the point of, you know, whenever we get these things, blue check marks or not, there are guys that maybe it's the random one story that falls into his lap, but that's not something we've seen with any level of consistency. So if this would be quite the coup.
Oh, no, and look, the retirement thing is okay, the retirement. But do you doubt that there's trade rumors that the Nets are looking to move on from Kyrie if they could?
I do.
Of course they could. Yeah, you don't think so?
I mean, they could, but I would think that these guys, three guys signed up for the, we're going to run this until it blows up, and it hasn't blown up yet.
Well, they also fell way short last year, and Kyrie Irving really
well. They fell right? a foot short, right?
Yeah,
he hits that 3-point shot because if he wasn't wearing clown shoes, that's a made 3-pointer, and it's a right. We may be looking at a whole different finish to the season.
Maybe. Well, but they could also have lost in the conference finals. They could also lost the NBA finals.
But they would have advanced. Right?
But one thing you're looking at is that they did all this without Kyrie Irving. And so is he the guy they really need? Look, I remember when we first started talking about this, it was, who's the one guy that of the trio is the Chris Bosh of the group, right? Well, we know we need LeBron and D-Wade. Bosh is nice, but okay, it's Bosh. Kyrie is the Chris Bosh of the group because
Hall of Famer Chris Bosh.
He and James Harden, you know, look, they play the same position. They both need the ball. Look, we found they could coexist together in games, which is great. But would you rather have the three of them together? Would you rather have Harden and KD and maybe two other fantastic players you could pay like $24 million a year to? That might do you a little bit better. Plus, it's players that you can maybe rely on a little bit more to stay with the team and to not be hurt. I mean, it's hard to rely on three guys that have injury histories and guys that can't stay on the court. It's difficult to do that. So, yeah, look, I completely am with the fact that the Nets are putting out feelers for Kyrie Irving, and that's the way it is. And maybe this is a case of, okay, through the media, we're hearing rumors, so now through the media, we put out there, if you want to trade him, he'll retire. Ooh, okay, because this is how teams and clients and agents talk to each other through the media this way. I mean, it's not anything that doesn't have smoke to it already, and we're here in the middle of September. We're still a ways away from players showing up and getting to camp and starting the season and all of these things, and already here you are, middle of September. Hey, anybody interested in Kyrie Irving? No, he'll retire. Ooh, okay, let's everybody calm down. Now let's be three little Fonzies here because Fonzie's cool. Now I'm telling you, there is all kinds of drama that continues to go on with the Nets. And kudos to them if they realize that, you know, putting these three guys out there again, can you say we're going to win the championship? You can't. Right, you thought that last year. Hey, we get these three guys, we get James Harden, championship. That's it. That's all we need. And it should have been great, but they couldn't get them on the court together, and guys were away from the team, and you realize that was too difficult. Can you really say, we're going to put these three guys out there, they're going to have a great enough regular season where we finish high enough in the East to have home court advantage for at least a little while, and then we'll be the best team in the East going all the way to the finals? You can't. You can't say that for this team, even though they got three great players. Number one, it's about your team and relying on guys that you know you weren't able to rely on last year. And how many teams in the East got better? You got the defending champions are in the East now. All right? Everybody else. The Heat got better. The Knicks got better. Everybody, all these good teams, they all got better. They're all coming for you. This is not the East last year. Last year was the year for the Nets. Last year was that year. This year is not that year. Their window was last year, and they couldn't get through it because of all of those issues. It's not going to happen this year. You just can't look at it and say, yes, this is going to happen. All three of these guys are going to stay healthy and all with it. Can't do it.
No, but you also can't just assume that everything that went wrong last year will necessarily crop up in the same way, in the same fashion, and the same order that it did this past year either, right? I get it. You can't go to either extreme, and you're trying to figure out what's the best of the situation. Well, you got three future Hall of Famers and guys that went right are the best at the respective positions. All right, and maybe okay. That's a hot take. I don't know. But the bottom line is, what are you going to do that's going to fortify that team, a deal that you can make, right? Whenever it becomes the – it's like when you're replacing a coach. It's the, all right, here's a – are you going to be better if you replace said coach? If you replace Kyrie Irving, other than the would have possibly what's going on and you know, trying to read his mind and whatever else everybody tries to do, can you find the right player that's going to make this thing work? And the salaries work because of that dumb NBA rule, right? Well, whenever you got to start playing that game, that's a whole other mess that comes into it. And will that make the other two guys upset? Because if they're not on board with it, then as we know, you can tear a locker room apart and make it a problem in that way too. So, you know, they signed up for this while they were both out with injuries and rallied back, and unfortunately Kyrie missed time, but. You know, just because there's an age on them, we can't always predict that the same thing's going to happen. Yeah, there's certain guys where you get to a point where it's like, yeah, that's it, right? It's the Chris Paul effect, right? I guess would be in the NBA. Yeah, all right, there he is now. He's great, but ... Maybe Kyrie Irving's there, but for at least this season, I think they run it back. And if it blows up again, look, man, it's great theater. You get to say I told you so, which is your favorite phrase in the English language.
Uh-huh.
And we've got stories for months on the National Basketball Association.
Now, here's the thing. I will give you Kevin Durant, because Kevin Durant's the one guy that I could say, okay, you're removed from the Achilles. He's back. He's probably the one that will give you a constant. But James Harden is now 32, going to be 33. Does he keep himself in great shape? No, he does not. Did he get injured last year with soft tissue injuries? Yes. Does he always get tired at the end of NBA playoff games? Yes. James Harden always gets tired, so you can't count on him. Kyrie Irving gets hurt every year. He misses 20 games at least every year. Mm-hmm. And with now his latest, with his behavior of leaving the team and walking away and coming back and not feeling beholden, I feel pretty good saying that this is the year that Kyrie Irving is going to have. It's going to be a lot like the last couple of years. He's going to be hurt. He's going to be away from the team, and you don't know that you can count on him. So I feel pretty good with Kyrie and James Harden knowing that that's going to happen. And as we've seen, KD can't do it by himself. So that's where I arrive at I'm feeling pretty good about the Nets and this three winning the championship not happening.
Yeah, no, I just want the opportunity to watch them and the Lakers run at it from their respective coasts, because if it works, then we've got a bunch of the best players in the game, the biggest names, and the stars are out. And if it blows up, the best names, the biggest names, the biggest stars are out, and we get to criticize the entire roster-building process of both squads. Either way, we win, Smith.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Just rolled off my tongue.
It rolls off your tongue really well. File this under the category of, yes, it's bad this hasn't happened before, but file it good because I thought this had happened before. The Milwaukee Bucks made history today by naming Lisa Byington the first woman's full-time TV play-by-play announcer in major men's pro sports.
Yeah.
Right now, longtime play-by-play announcer Jim Paschke, who went out on top. Hey, the Bucks won the title.
I'm out.
Not going to get any better than that. I'm Michael Jordan making that shot, man. I am out. I'm done. And here comes Lisa Byington, who's coming in, the new play-by-play announcer on Bally Sports Wisconsin. She's worked in sports for a long time. She's had a big history. She's been a sideline reporter for NCAA men's basketball games. She's called play-by-play for various NBA and WNBA games as well. So she's had a great career in this.
Starter in basketball and soccer. Where?
Go ahead.
Go Cats.
Say it, buddy. I knew
it. Yeah, baby. Go Cats.
I knew it. So, look, obviously the downside of it is that, boy, this is the first woman who was named a major television play-by-play voice for a major sports team. And you'd think that that would have happened before. But that's the thing. Like, I want to look at this. This is a great story. And I would look at it from the side that if you told me this happened, hey, Lisa Byington is the new play-by-play announcer for Bally Sports Wisconsin, I'd say, great. And if you said to me, is she the first one? I would say, no, there's got to be somebody else by now, right? Because like a headline like this doesn't surprise me. You know, this is like I would think that, okay, you know, and I think that's a good thing in that I think a lot of people are going to see this and go, oh, I didn't know this had already happened. This hadn't already happened. Now, look, that's the tough part is that this is the first time it's happened. But I think we're at a point now with sports where when announcements like this happen, it's like, oh, okay, I would have thought this would have happened by now. I thought this was going on already. Hey, great for her. But yeah, it's not that big a deal anymore. And when you think about it from that perspective, that's a great big leaps and bounds thing going on for women in sports and trying to move on as we get more diverse in people covering and calling sports for a living.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a big deal, and certainly we've seen it over the last couple of years in our business, right? More game analysts, more play-by-play in college sports, certainly. Beth Mowins, you hear her every weekend, and we see more and more women getting their shot. But, yeah, this one I would not have – I would have lost a bar bet on that in terms of it being a first. There's no question about it. Not that I would have been able to rattle off a bunch of names. It just seems that with the number of opportunities, right, given all the different broadcast medium that we have here and the digital shows and everything else and digital side of things, that there would have been some marriage in there at some point. But congratulations and, like, long career and the long path, and I've seen some of the discussion of it of, you know, hopefully this is the start of the trend. You want different voices, different opinions, and different points of view, and certainly she's got the resume to go and get after it. So look forward to the calls this fall.
Yeah, I mean, we've been used to hearing, oh, women are calling a game. Now we hear women call games all the time. It's like, yeah, right. Okay, that's what it is. That's really, I mean, I feel good that I feel that, hey, I didn't think this was that big a deal. I think a lot of people felt that way. But now when you hear the story, it's okay, we got to get more women involved because we do. But shows great progress. It shows great, great progress. Congratulations. Well deserved. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Coming up next. A real test of how powerful and popular the National Football League is. We're going to find out tomorrow night. This is Fox Sports Radio.